Well, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll just enter into the Word, the precious Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You so much. We thank You for the immeasurable gift that You've given to the church. Father, and I thank You for Your grace and mercy that reigns in life as a result of the wonderful Lamb and what He has done for us. And today, Father, I want to be able to come across with an understanding of Your Word that will bless everybody here. Father, I am so frustrated to try and bring across spiritual insight when I know that it falls upon the mind of the soul, which is so incapable of comprehending spiritual insight. So, Father, today I have to totally rely upon You to anoint the ears of the listener or the hearer so that they would be enlightened to totally understand what I'm going to try and bring across to them that took many years for me to bring forth in my understanding. Heavenly Father, I can't expect them to grasp it in one setting. So, Father, keep me simple, keep me focused, and keep me direct to the point of the importance of the message that I want to place upon their heart in understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will, open up to John chapter 1. That's a good place to start. John chapter 1. Hallelujah. This is Easter morning. Amen. How many of you enjoyed Good Friday? Well, that was supposedly when He was crucified. And then Easter Sunday is when He resurrected. Hallelujah. And so today I'm going to do my best to try to bring out to your understanding what death, burial, and resurrection is really all about concerning the appearance of our Lord. In John chapter 1, go to verse 29. The next day John, that's John the Baptist, seeing Jesus coming unto him, and then he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, I'm going to read this to you out of the language in which the Bible was written in. The next day, John, seeing Jesus coming unto him, saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, taking the place of what brought spiritual death." The sin. The sin. Taking the place of the sin, notice this, of the world. The sin of the world. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God that will be taking the place of the sin of the world." The sin of the world. And notice the word sin is singular. The sin of the world. Now, I want us to go to Romans chapter 5 and stay plugged in as much as you possibly can, because I know that our souls have a tendency to wander. You know that song, "I wonder, 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 who wrote the book of love?" Well, I don't wonder anymore. I know who did. Praise God. In Romans chapter 5, I want us to go to a verse that's very important to understand. Verse 12. Verse 12. Have I lost anybody? "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." This is a very interesting verse. It's saying one man, and this one man that we're referring to here would be Adam. And he said, because of Adam, sin entered into the world, and then, as a result of sin entering into the world, this sin caused death to pass upon all of us. He goes on to say, the reason that we know this, because every one of us have partaken of sin. How many of you have sinned? My gosh, it looked like the whole congregation. Now, I want us to focus in on something here in this verse. Notice he says, wherefore as by one man, notice, sin entered. Sin entered into the world. And we're going to stop right there. I'm going to clarify something. Spiritual death was not what entered into this world first. That's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying sin entered first into the world where sin had never been before. And the sin that is referred to here is Adam disobeying God. Now, you know that this word for disobedience, the meaning of this word means that he failed to give attention to God's word. That's what this word means. Pharkoe. Literally means a failure to give attention. My gosh, how many believers do that today going to church? And rightly so, some of them, it's good that you sleep during the message. Because if you really pay attention to the message, it ain't worth paying attention to. But notice this. He says, sin entered into the world. Then we got this and here, which means and death, actually through that sin. Well, what death would he be referring to? This word for death here is the Greek word thanatos. Now, I want to take just a moment and explain something to you. There are two types of death mentioned in the Word of God. Until you understand this, Scripture will be very confusing to you. The two types of death that are mentioned is the Greek word thanatos and nekros. The reason that I wanted to bring this issue up is because I want to explain to you the type of death that it's referring to in the verses as we go along. But this word right here, death, through sin, is literally referring to spiritual death. So it says, because of Adam failing to give attention to the results of his disobedience, that sin that entered into the world first brought humanity spiritual death. And as all of us inheriting spiritual death, we all then are obviously in it because we partake of sin. So what he's saying is that, first of all, there was an act of disobedience where spiritual death fell upon all of us as a result of this one man. Then, I don't want to get into verse 13 and 14, but I want us... Well, I think I will. Might as well. For until the law, sin was in the world. And the sin that he's referring to is disobedience. But disobedience is not imputed where there is no law. Meaning, up until the law, no one really knew that they were in any form of disobedience towards God. Why? Well, first of all, they were born into this world spiritually dead. Why? Because they came out of the loins of Adam, and so they inherited spiritual death. Then it goes on to say, nevertheless, spiritual death did rule from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. And what he's referring to there, even those that did not purposely disobey the Father, they were still in disobedience not because they had a direct word from God that they were disobeying. It's because by nature, spiritual death, they were producing sin. See, by nature, by death, they were producing spiritual or sin. Then it said, the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, this is referring to Adam being a type of Jesus that was to come. But the next verse says, but not as the offense. In other words, Jesus also, Adam is also a type of Jesus that was to come, but not a type in the offense, but in the obedience to God. Glory to God. Where the first Adam failed to obey, the second Adam came to position himself before God to be obedient. Amen. For all of us that inherited spiritual death, even though we had not transgressed personally any word from God. Right. How would we know? Well, you got to understand, man is a three-part being, spirit, soul, body. And so when you have been conceived into this world by your first parents, you automatically inherited a soul and a spirit right along with the physical body. How many are following what I'm saying? But because your lineage all goes back to the loins of Adam, everyone that is conceived by their first parents, which is the natural parents, inherits spiritual death. Now let's follow on here. But not as the offense. In other words, Jesus is not a type of Adam in the offense, but in the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be made spiritually dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus, hath abounded unto many. And I want you to make a note in your Bible, the word there for the gift that came to us by grace hath abounded more towards us. Why would he make that statement? Because we are in disobedience. We were in transgression. But that was not going to stop God from giving us a free gift. Unearnable. Hallelujah. And you know what that was? The new birth. The new birth. Now, most people look at the gifts there and they refer that to the Holy Ghost. You have to understand the term free gift has to be interpreted in light of the text, because the Holy Ghost is also likened unto a gift. Are you following me? But the gift that he's referring to here is the new birth, to be born again. And that's why John chapter 3, when Nicodemus appeared to him, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Over in John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. No man can come any other way except through me. I am the door. And what he was talking about was the door of natural birth, but he was conceived from God the Father. Hallelujah. And he says, any other person, any other way, tries to get in any other way, he's a thief and a robber. He cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus is the only way. You know, you hear on TV all these statements, you know, that Christianity is just one of the religions of the world. And that is an abomination, because it's saying that there are many ways to the kingdom of heaven outside of Jesus. And my Bible does not teach that. Amen. I'm following the one that is the only way. Why? He's the only one that could bring the free gift called spiritual rebirth. Now, when he took the sin of the world, he wasn't saying that he was taking your personal sins. If that was the case, you wouldn't be in him. Shut up, Jan. Well, how do you know I am? Because we partake of the same body. But Jesus said, it must needs be that I come into the world, or that I have come into the world for judgment. Now, you ready? He said, in this judgment, that they which see might be made blind. Isn't that nice? And those that say that they are blind might be made to see. And right away, the Pharisees said, are you telling me that we're blind? And Jesus said, he didn't say, no, you're blind, but he made this statement. He said, if you were seeing, you wouldn't have sin. Why? They were saying they were seeing, and yet they were blind.
Right.
Why, are you saying we're blind too? Well, Jesus, instead of directly saying, yep, you're as blind as a bat, he graced them by saying that if you were seeing, you would have no sin.
Right.
Now, let's follow on here, because I hope you've got your shouting clothes on. Somebody said, what do they look like? What you got, what you're wearing is just fine. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be brought to spiritual separation from God. Because that's what spiritual death is. It's not annihilation. It's when an inner man has been separated from God. Because by a man's spirit, he communicates with God. By his soul, he communicates to both realms. And by his body, he communicates strictly with this realm. Are you following me? And so he goes on to say, much more, the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Not as it was by one that sinned, plural, not as by one that sinned, but this free gift was for the judgment by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification of life. Oh, I like that verse. I like that verse. I like that verse. It wasn't because one man brought disobedience. It's because this gift that's going to be given to mankind is because of that one offense. Many have disobeyed God. So how much more is the grace over humanity? Well, he's not dealing with one transgressor, but many. Oh, glory to God. Now, I want us to go on here. For if by one man's offense, that would be Adam, spiritual death reigned by that one man, much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Whoo! He's saying, because of one man transgressing, now I got a whole bunch of men transgressing, but that ain't going to stop me from giving the free gift to whomsoever would call upon the name of the Lord. They shall be saved. And that's why a lot of people don't call upon the name of the Lord. Why? They like their darkness. They like walking in spiritual death. They like their body telling them and doing what the body tells them to do. They like their darkness more than light. And light is the life of God. It's when a man gets born again. And he goes on to say that this gift, referring to the new birth of righteousness, shall rule in life, Zoe, by one Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God. This spiritual rebirth that you and I have inherited, it reigns in this life. And notice what it says, it reigns in this life through grace. Oh, that's a very interesting statement. How can it reign through grace? Oh, thank you very much for asking that very intelligent question. Now notice this. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. Whew! For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might be made obvious, is how it should have been written, might be made obvious. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In other words, God wasn't running around and making judgment on the entire world. He always focused it back to one man's offense that made many sinners. Now notice this. That as death hath reigned by death. That as sin hath reigned by death, thanatos, spiritual death, even so might grace reign through righteousness to eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want to explain this verse to you, and I want you to get a hold of this. Sin entered, and spiritual death through that sin. So then spiritual death passed upon all men, because all have partaken of the results of that spiritual death. But here in verse 17, he talked about the gift of righteousness, and the word gift there is referring to the new birth. Of righteousness means what produces righteousness. So when a man gets born again, he now has the capacity to produce righteousness. Right. Why? Because he's born of God. He has God's life and nature in his spirit. Yes. But he doesn't have it in his flesh. He doesn't have it in his flesh. Why? Because his soul partook, or in-breathed, or inhaled sins. But not because he was born alive, he was born dead. And these verses are telling us a man sins because he's spiritually dead. Right. Now notice what he goes on to say. That this death, at verse 21, that reigned, this righteousness that he refers to in verse 21, even so that grace reign, notice this, through righteousness to eternal life. What in the world is he talking about? I never could understand that verse, and now I know what he's meaning. Grace. I want to tell you people, grace is a beautiful gift given to us of God. Grace is a beautiful gift given to us of God. And you're going to appreciate that grace in one moment here. Are you ready? Notice verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What in the world is he referring to? Dead to sin. Dead to sin. You know, I see Christians struggling continually in doctrines that bring no freedom. Because they don't have an understanding of how sin can operate in their life after they even get born again. But notice this. He says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, you know how this righteousness reigns through grace? Are you ready? The fact of the issue is this. That when Jesus came into this world, he came into this world with the only spirit that came from the loins of God. And we know that he possessed a body, because we find that in Hebrews chapter 10, that a body hast thou prepared me. But we understand that the body that he was referring to was the body that was offered through the eternal spirit, which meant the human spirit that he was conceived with the body with. So when he was conceived in the loins of Mary, she covered him with the body, but it was the seed of Christ that was within the body, which meant spirit and soul. Now follow me real close here, because if you don't understand this, you don't understand redemption. He said that because of this ultimate sacrifice given from God, this is the sacrifice that took the place of the sacrificial lambs or dead animals or everything in the Old Testament. Why? Because those sacrifices couldn't cleanse us from spiritual death through that one man's disobedience. So we couldn't produce righteousness. Why? We didn't have a spirit to do it. But Jesus, when he was birthed into this world, had a spirit that came from God, not Adam, and now he has the power.
to walk in this body with this perfect spirit that you and I inherited. And in this, he overcame the dictates of his flesh. And therefore, his flesh was offered without spot to God. Woo! Why? Because he had the power within him, his inner being, to overcome the dictates of his flesh. Which brings up a problem for you and I. How many know that Jesus is set at the right hand of the Father? He has a glorified body. Can I hear an amen? But I got news for you. Jesus walked this planet in a perfect spirit to show the world, to exegesis the life of the Father in him that you and I would inherit. How a born again spirit, or a spirit that is a free gift given to us, that is alive unto God, has the power to overcome the dictates of our flesh.
Amen. Right. Yeah.
You mean I inherited that life?
Yes,
yes, indeedy. You mean to tell me that that life I inherited? Oh, yes. You have the power to overcome the dictates of your flesh. Now listen, here's where grace comes in. It says that grace might reign through righteousness. What? That he left you in these wineskins. He left you in this old tabernacle, but he has his glorified one.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
But don't be concerned about that, because you will get your glorified one too.
Yep.
But he came as an example to show you that his human spirit that was conceived out of the loins of God was the spirit that gave him power to walk on this planet Earth apart from falling to any sin. Now, how do you and I get this picture going in us when you and I still have the old body of sin? Oh, have I got good news for you. Are you ready? This is how the new birth reigns on planet Earth. Are you ready? It reigns through grace. Meaning that if he left us in this body, then we have to walk this planet, we have to walk our salvation out through that spirit. Meaning that he had the graces because he left us in these wineskins. So the new birth on the inside of us, God has to grace us on the outside for the inside to work its way on the outside. Now, we've got doctrines of demons, and it goes back to referring to generational issues. But I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ is the end of all generational issues. Because if you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, all things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. But my life is no longer acknowledged in my flesh. It says, don't even be taking in any more insight as to what you used to be. Take in a brand new concept of regeneration. He birthed you to a new generation. Hallelujah. Now develop it. Oh, hallelujah. The saddest thing is to see believers struggle with sin their whole life and never get victory over it. And yet they have the power to do so. Why? Jesus showed us that he had the power. Do you think the reason that he overcame sin was predicated on the fact that it was planned to do so? If that's the case, he merely rehearsed a plan and it had really no value or potential to sin. And that was not so. He inherited a body just like you and me. But he encased it with the perfect spirit. And his soul had to grow through the word of who he was, just like you and I. But it was the second member of the Godhead that dwelt in his humanity, his human spirit. It was the second member of the Godhead that trained him. You and I have the third member of the Godhead in our human spirit that trains us. And that's why if you cut off the life of the Holy Spirit to transform you, you're defeating the purpose in your flesh. You.
Right. Yeah.
Now you're following me so far. Oh, are you ready? God forbid, how should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not? Now here we're getting down to the crux of
of our redemption. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Christ Jesus,
ready,
were baptized into his death. Verse 3 really threw me off, because the word for death here is thanatos. Well, I said, now what in the world is he talking about? We were baptized into his spiritual death. How could that be? I'm already spiritually dead. Now, this is before I got saved. I was already spiritually dead. I was already spiritually dead. John chapter 1, verse 29, I read you, "Behold the Lamb of God, which has taken away the sin of the whole world." The sin that he's referring to there, are you ready? The sin that he was referring to there was not your personal sins. He was referring to the sin that brought you spiritual death. From Adam. He went into the grave as a result of the one man's sin that made many sinners. Are you following me? So he came to die in the place of Adam's transgression, but his death was in obedience. His death was in obedience. So, in obedience, he was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So he took the place of Adam's disobedience that brought you and I spiritual death, so we can have the free gift of the new birth apart from our sins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Which brings up an issue. Well, then how that come that I, who is already spiritually dead, can be baptized into his spiritual death when they're one and the same? Here's how. Are you ready? He took a sacrifice that the third heaven was waiting for, that was without spot or wrinkle, to come and under the rule of that human spirit that was programmed by the second member of the Godhead, totally enlightened, he came as a human being, and his inward man took total control of his outward man, and he fulfilled not only complete obedience to God, but he also went and fulfilled the law in every detail. He took the test that humanity was impossible to take to bring them any form of redemption whatsoever. He took the test and passed it and gave you the passing grade without price. He took a spotless sacrificial lamb and put it on that cross. And then he was made sin. Why? Our sin made him sin, which caused him to inherit spiritual death that you and I had already partaken of before we got born again. Now, are you ready for this? That like as he was raised up from the grave, you also will qualify. Now, are you ready? Not just the church, but the sins of the whole world. You know why men are going to hell? It isn't because of their personal sins. They're going to hell because they just flat reject Jesus. He is the only door. Now, are you ready?
when Jesus said, I was baptized into his death. He said, when I was the spotless lamb on that cross as a physical being, I was being judged by my heavenly Father for the whole world's disobedience, including Adam's. He says, but I hung there in innocency. I hung there in innocency. He says, won't you do the same? Hang your physical body on the same cross. Hang it there. You know, it says his nail-scarred hands, his pierced feet. And then we have these religious songs that have come out. That because of him on the cross, he died, but we only see the spiritual side. We don't see the results of physical death. The results of physical death is because he never gave way to sin. But he inherited spiritual death because of ours, including Adam's. Our spiritual death. And that inherited spiritual death. But the reason he could come out of the grave, are you ready? He offered a spotless sacrifice on the cross. That's what qualified him to come out of the grave. Can I hear an amen? That's why it says you were baptized into his death. Meaning, his death, meaning you also are viewed as a spotless lamb on the cross because he paid the price for spiritual death by keeping the law and overcoming sin. And all we have to do is identify it. That's why baptism is identification. And like as he was raised from the grave, you also should walk in newness of life. How many of you got what I just said? Now notice this. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, verse 5, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be rendered inactive or has no more power, is what the word destroyed means. It's not talking about annihilated or done away. It means that it was rendered inactive. And that's why in Luke 9:23 it says, the apostle said, that I am to die daily. Matter of fact, turn over there to Luke chapter 9. If you get a hold of this, you'll enjoy your Easter. You'll enjoy it like nothing else. Look at Luke 9:23. And he said to them, all, if any man, Jesus said it, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily and follow me. Daily and follow me. Paul said, I die daily. You know what he was referring to when he made that statement? Oh, it was powerful. He was talking. Matter of fact, turn over there to 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, people. The trouble with me is I get so much in me that it goes way over, and I don't want that. But get the tape. Get the tape. Look at verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 15. This is not a Mormon scripture, by the way. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? Wrong. On behalf of the dead. If the dead rise not at all, why are then they baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. For if in the manner of men's I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage at me if the dead raise not at all? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And what is he referring to? Well, Ephesus is where he had his greatest opposition in that which is natural. Are you following me? But he said, that on behalf of the dead. Well, what dead is he referring to? What dead person is he referring to? What dead? Are you ready? The flesh. You're to do something with your flesh. If you've got resurrection, you now have the power to do something with death. Why? You got to put it on the cross daily. You got to have an identification with his physical death. Oh, hallelujah. You got to put your flesh on the cross. Daily, daily you make choices to sin or not to sin. You daily make choices to walk with God or walk with yourself. You see, we cough up doctrines that try to reason out why we do what we do. It just comes down to one thing. You are not putting something in your understanding about what you're to do with your physical body to walk free of its ability to sin. Yes. You gotta put him in the grave. Yes. Now I'm gonna prove that to you. Turn back over to Romans 6. I know you got your shouting clothes on. Let's start with verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Why? Because spiritual death has no more dominion over him neither. Why? For in that he died to sin once. Oh, glory to God. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon. This word reckon literally means to take this understanding and put it and enjoin it to your mind and keep it there and never forget it. That's what that word reckons. You also yourselves to be physically dead indeed to sin. Well, he wouldn't use the word spiritually there, because if you inherited the new birth, why would he say, then reckon yourself dead? Are you getting what I'm saying? If you get what I'm saying, you will begin to move towards God and get victory over your flesh. So what he's saying there is, I got to put this in my thinking, that I literally also, as a result of the cross, died physically once to sin? Yep. Well, then how come I still perform? Thank God that the new birth will reign through grace. Well, then that means then sin is really not the issue. God forbid the new birth won't produce sin. The thing that will produce sin is you think that you're still a walking dead man.
Yeah, that's right.
And as long as your flesh is alive in your thinking, it will tell you what to do, it'll speak against God, and it'll look for excuses, it'll look for self-justification, it'll look for everything that you're never ready for. My body always told me I was never really ready for spiritual sellout. I was ready from the new birth, day one. But this verse is saying this, that you are to reckon your physical man dead unto sin. In other words, you are indeed to sin, but alive to God. And this word for alive is a Greek word, zeo, how one spends his life. In other words, how one exists. We're to spend our life and exist as a physically dead man, now going to rule and reign in this life through that gift by grace to make sure that the physical man stays in that place of death. It's got to be more complicated than that. Yeah, if you're in your soul, it will be. Your soul will try to figure out all kinds of reasons why you continue. And it just boils down. For if you live after the flesh, you'll go back, move back into the death of that life. You'll kill that life that's been given you. Are you understanding me? The life of God will cease then to grow in you. It'll cease to grow. Why? Because the body will take over again. You see, I never saw myself as being crucified on the cross. Therefore, the only thing that that body had was the grave. But Jesus was resurrected by the grave. But we were left in this body. You follow me? So what we have to do is we have to put it in our understanding that we got to take our physical man out. And when God showed that to me in the hotel room, I saw myself hauling my physical body out and throwing it on the ground and digging a 6-foot hole, and I kicked him in there and he went plonked, hallelujah, and I covered him up, and that literally meant, now I know what it means not to let my body tell me anything anymore. Yeah. Woo! Glory to God, glory to God, glory, glory to God, I'm free! You hear that, flesh? Oh, I like this. That's why he goes on in Romans chapter 6 and tells you neither yield your members as weapons of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourself. He goes on and tells you in chapter 6 what to do with your body. Why? Because you got resurrection life on the inside of you. You got something here today. That's why if you rightly... You didn't know something? The Old Testament saints. That's why they couldn't be brought to redemption until we were made perfect. You had to wait for this generation to bring them out of the grave. Brought them out of Abraham's bosom. Why? They were all spiritually dead. Why? They lived according to their body. They did. They lived according to their body. God had to be hard on flesh for an example of what was to come. Why? Because the Old Testament believers, they were literally dominated. Their spirits were dominated by their flesh. God reversed the process. He now made your spirit the dominion over your flesh. But you got to do something. When you feel indebted to your flesh, tell it to shut up. I buried you because a dead man cannot continue to sin. You're free. You're free. Now, when you stand before God, there's going to be a part of you that is to blame. Make sure it is not your spirit that you're going to cough that up. He says, but I pray God that He would wholly preserve you blameless when you stand before God, meaning that your body is not the reason why you didn't get the victory. You don't even blame your soul, and you can't blame your spirit, or you will be indicted big time. Jesus has done a completed work. Now Satan is doing his best to destroy the minds of men so they have a tougher time coming to redemption, such as drugs. Now he's using the courts to get children, little kids, under perverted parents. You see, anything to stop the life from flowing. The church is about ready to remove the authority of Satan's churches by his power. God showed me that. He says the more that you and I keep getting this insight, the closer we're moving to the power of God. He says, before you are with me, Jan, he says, not only you, but many in your church will be now raising the dead. They will be casting out demons. Many of them will begin to overcome sickness and disease in their body and no longer under pharmaceutical care, because they are going to separate themselves unto me in total obedience. And just as sickness and disease even dwells in our body, it will no longer be able to dwell there, because the inner man will then begin to rise up in a greater anointing than it ever has and will begin to dominate and purge the soul to the point where the body then comes right into total perfect harmony with the glory of God shining out. And he said, the reason I got to give you the power unmeasurable, it destroyed the confidence of bad doctrine in the lives of my people. Oh, it's coming for me. He's even given me scripture promises that I'm not free to give you. He says, you confess them every day. And he said, I don't care if it takes 6 months. He says, as long as you hold fast to your profession, he says, it'll come to pass. You just got to have patience after you've done the will of God. We got Christians that can't even be faithful in church. They can't even be faithful in relationships. They can't even be faithful at what they know to do, and yet they don't do it. Why? Because they're not faithful to their inner man. They wander around in these every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike, except getting in and finding out what the true doctrine is. We got Christians living out of the Old Testament. And that place has been abandoned. And you know what God told me? Are you ready for this? He said the heavenly utensils of worship had to be cleansed in the heavenly realm. A realm with a greater sacrifice. You know what he was referring to there? God just showed that to me this weekend. I went, my Lord and my God. He was talking about how the third heaven had to institute types and shadows, how to put together sacrifices of animals and stuff, which wasn't even what God wanted to do. But God had the planet and the universe. But by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he entered into the third heaven himself, he cleansed the heavenly utensils of worship, which is our
spirits, hallelujah. And he did away with the pattern of the Old Testament. He annihilated, he couldn't hardly wait to get rid of that kind of pattern that once existed in heaven as his will. No wonder the Old Testament is flat finished.
Amen.
And anything that pertains to it, glory to God. Somebody once said, well, I love the Old Testament because those men were such an example. I hate it. I like to get over in the New Testament because my Lord Jesus Christ is my perfect example. I want to see Him. I want to know Him. Not His shape. I want to know His heart. I want to know His thought. I want to know His heartbeat. I want to know Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. Woo! Seems like we got a bunch of on fire church members.
Amen. Yeah.
Isn't it good to be on church Easter Sunday?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Those that are out there walking them streets, you watch. It's going to be a matter of time. And this church is going to swing around. This is such awesome glory. That the sinners will flock to life. You know what? God made a way for them sinners out there in the church rising up and speaking against them. Hey, they're doing what their nature tells them to do. They were programmed that way. They have no hope without Christ. But because they now have inherited Christ, whether they accept Him or not, He's theirs. We get this concept, Jesus is only for the church. He for the whole world. So what are you saying, Jen, about this body? You have to reckon it dead. You have to dig your grave. You want the best Easter you've ever had when you go home? Get a shovel. Now you can do it in your imaginations or you can literally get a shovel. I got a gold one up in my office. That's the kind to really have. 20 carat. And go out in your backyard and just dig a hole. You don't have to dig a complete... But in symbolism, dig it a little bit. And say, okay, body. Boom. Now you know what's going to happen. He's going to kick up. He's going to get right out of that grave and He's going to come walking up to you. And He's going to say, you know the sin we used to perform? Come on, man. Let's get with it again. Hey, I buried you. Didn't I leave you in the backyard? Well, now I'm not going to pay no more attention to you. You, some of us pay attention to that old man like he's still living. Oh, he just told me I don't have the faith. Shut him off. You know what? Abraham did consider his body being 100 years old. And yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, that's what it says in the Greek. He did consider. I hear messages. He didn't. He did consider. But it said he differed not in the promise that was given to him from God. You know, it doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge that we're in sin. But we have to get to a place where even though we acknowledge that we're in sin, sin is no longer going to rule over us. That's the key. And so he said, I don't care. And you know how long it took Abraham to receive the conception of Isaac? 50 years. How would you like to stand on the promise for 50 years? Some of you'd be, you'd done gone home and be with glory by now. Praise God.
Got it.
Praise God. Well, did you get something here this morning?
Yeah.
We're free. We're free. My body ain't going to make me even feel, oh, you poor abused thing. Oh, you're just not getting what you deserve. You know what? My body. I got news for you. Your body and my body, we don't feel indebted to it one bit. If somebody abuses us, so what? You're not abused by God. Humanity can abuse you, but not God. Nope. I'm free. Sometimes, how many of you ever feel depressed every once in a while? I guarantee you, when you start striving for more of God, depression comes on you like a bandit for some reason. You got to shake it off. Now I'm getting to where this voice in my head is also the voice of the devil. Now he's throwing thoughts in there because my own thoughts no longer have any authority over me. So he invents a few now. Why? Because I'm getting freer from my soul. Yeah. Why? He only knows what the five senses have trained him to know. But I like it when God pops up inside my soul. I like what Dave said one time. He said, good glory to God. Apart from God, no one can save this guy. Oh, I am God. Yeah. Praise God. He's right on. We'll stop there. Hallelujah. Oh, so many of us. Well, Pastor, where do we start? Where do we start to feed our inner man? I'll tell you where you start. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ free. You got born again through freedom. But listen, you have to fellowship with God. You have to learn to bond to Him so that you will become the dear son that or daughter that He wants. So you have to start fellowshipping with Him. Nothing will kill you deader than a hammer is no fellowship with God. And then your old sins will come back to haunt you again. You'll start doing things you thought you were free of. I got a situation there where I have to judge an individual that where he's going all over the world. He's involved in sin enough to make a gag. And the thing about it is he has a family and he has children. And because he doesn't know how to get free from his flesh. He doesn't know or he wouldn't do it. You see, if you learn how to get free of your flesh, then you won't become a reproach. Now I got to judge this thing, and I don't know how to judge it because I know the love of God. I have to consider even myself. I'm not free of being vulnerable to some form of sin. Are you following what I'm saying? So now I got to approach and judge a thing. But really, down inside of my heart, I know that this poor man doesn't know how to get set free, or he wouldn't be bound up like that. Oh, we're so free, people. You see, that's why James said, you gotta put on humility. You gotta quit figuring out how you're thinking yourself in, or you can't do it. You just have to let go and let God. Be God in your heart. Stand up, everybody. Hallelujah. Boy, I just feel a compassion for the church that I never had before. And yet I see believers, born again, tongue-talking, spirit-filled believers, cough up with some, I'm sorry, damnable doctrine to put them more and more of a circle rather than coming to humility and submit and let the life of God speak to them in such a way they're free. You got theologians out there barking off trash because they don't fellowship with God and pray in the Holy Ghost. They don't. Then some of them don't even speak in tongues, or it has no value to them. And tongues is a language through which revelation comes. It's a very tool revelation comes. Matter of fact, speaking in tongues is a revelation gift, first and foremost. And yet you can't get people convinced that they have freedom to them. You know, some of you here this morning, I don't want nobody looking around. I don't want nobody entering and exiting right now. I want to close this service by reaching back to this audience, listening audience this morning. You might be here and you say, Pastor, I kind of got out of fellowship with my Redeemer, my Savior. I got to a place where I was hurt at one time. I stumbled, I fell, and didn't know how to get back up.